Christians in a Cancel Culture is the title of an intriguing new book. The author is Joe Dallas. He joins us right now for this particular segment of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, it's a pleasure being with you again, Jerry.
Sure. Now, this is a very intriguing title, Christians in a Cancel Culture. First of all, was there any particular incident that caused you to say, oh, somebody's got to write a book? You know what? I'll write that book. I love it.
Well, Jerry, you've heard of the death by a thousand cuts?
Yes.
Yeah, well, this was sort of a book written after a thousand cuts. I've been in ministry for 34 years now to counsel and offer ministry to people who have repented of homosexuality or the use of porn or different sexual sins. And I found almost from day one that I had to defend my ministry as well as attend to my ministry. It was sort of like Nehemiah's guys working with a weapon in one hand and a tool to build in the other. And after a while, I realized the issue we're facing in America, especially in 2021, is a lot broader than just the country going pro-gay or pro-transgender or pro-abortion. It's a literal crusade that we're seeing coming from the hard political left that is trying to reach inside the church and not only persuade us to change our positions, but compel us to change our positions. And this is something new for the Christian church in America. Traditionally, we've either been fairly compatible with the culture when it comes to our moral views until we came to the 60s and 70s, or at least there's been mutual tolerance. But those days are gone. The church is now targeted because it is the last large population still resisting the overhaul of basic principles that are essential to the faith. And those are the principles getting us into hot water, Jerry. If you just say you're a Christian, nobody's going to hassle you. But if you practice and express the Christian distinctives, like the definition of marriage, the definition of family, the concept of life in the womb being a life in the womb, a proper concept of racism and social justice, if you hold to those distinctives, that's where the controversy is. Much of the church, I believe, is caving, simply intimidated. Much of the church is raving. We're getting angry and just spouting off. The better way is what John said Jesus was, full of grace and truth. So I wrote this book to equip the average Christian to be able to discuss homosexuality, transgender, abortion, racism, and progressive Christianity. In fact, it has sample dialogues in each chapter to better equip you on what to say and when to say it. And I also wanted to give the reader a better idea of how we got to where we are with what we now call the cancel culture. So this is to equip believers to hold intelligent discussions and to reason with people about these critical issues.
Wow, this is great. What a book for our time. I'm so happy. By the way, just recently, speaking of books, I was listening to the audiobook of Ray Bradbury's classic novel, Fahrenheit 451. It was read by Tim Robbins. And the interesting thing is, and he did a wonderful job, by the way, on that as an actor. The interesting thing is that liberals of the left, they actually like Fahrenheit 451, but they don't realize how much of it that describes them and what they really push and promote in a very real sense. I mean, it's like the old line from Cal Thomas many years ago. He wrote a book called Who Are the Real Book Burners? And his answer was,
exactly.
It's the liberals, the people on the left. Who are the promoters of cancel culture? Really, it's people on the left.
Well, I tell you, when I was a boy, I first read 1984. And Jerry, both 1984 and Bradbury's Fahrenheit were sort of classic arguments for what we considered the liberal view at that time. We felt that the conservatives were the ones who were the bad guys in these stories.
Wow.
But now, when you told me you were reading Bradbury's novel, I was thinking, those books are more relevant than ever today. Yes. The further we get away from the time they were written, the closer we get to the time they were writing about.
Yeah, it's so true. And by the way, I had to look it up, but the date of Bradbury's story is 1953. And, you know, in that book, by the way, there's a lot of biblical imagery and even some biblical quotes. And, you know, part of the whole point is to preserve the books and the culture of Western civilization, including the Bible, which is, of course, you know, the most important book in the history of the world, including the most important book in the history of Western culture. But who are the main proponents of cancel culture, as you would see it, in our current society?
I would say it has both its proponents and its supporters, and those are two different things. The proponents, I believe, Jerry, are essentially the people who are pushing for an expanded government power to the point of virtually becoming a police state. Because when you have special interest groups, that's a big government dream. The more you have special interest groups clamoring for government protection and compensation, the more you have an expanded bureaucracy. So I happen to think that the political left absolutely loves racial identity politics, gender identity politics, LGBTQ politics, and so forth, because these things require speech codes, they require corporate training, they require laws, they require penalties if you break the laws. And what does all that require? Expanded government. So on the one hand, I believe the real proponents of this are the proponents of a completely different vision of America than what we have traditionally had. And that is an America not of, by, and for the people, but of, by, and for the government. I think that really is the end game. Now, the supporters of that, of course, are the people who feel they will be the beneficiaries of expanded government.
Yeah.
If Black Lives Matter can convince corporate America that all corporations should have racial sensitivity training, if the transgender movement can punish anybody who challenges the idea that a male can really become a female, if the gay rights movement can punish anyone who offers ministry to people who want to change, which is one of the gay rights movement's goals right now, is to ban counseling for people like me who reached a point where they say, I don't want to be gay, what do I do now? If they can get government to support all of those goals, then of course they're going to hitch their wagon to government's wagon. What I don't think they realize is once you become government's beneficiary, you also become government's servant. And I'm afraid that they will wake up one day and realize I've sold my soul to the devil. I no longer have my independence. So this is why I think we have a clash, because as you know, Jerry, a robust church is big government's worst nightmare. Big government wants you to be compliant and dependent. Christianity teaches, among other things, independence. It teaches individualism. It teaches enterprise. It teaches the right kind of self-reliance, reliance on God, and then personal responsibility. Now, that flies in the face of what we have been seeing the progressive left try to do in this nation, especially over the past couple of years. So no wonder there is such a pushback from cancel culture. So here is where we're left with a decision. We were commissioned to be the light of the world. We are more and more reluctant now to plainly state biblical positions on crucial issues. But, Jerry, somebody is going to state their position. It will either be the church or it will be the cancel culture. Mm. So will we be the light of the world, or are we going to let the world become the light of the church? It's going to be one or the other.
You know, what I'm about to say could easily be misunderstood. And I'm not one given over to, you know, calling this person a Nazi or comparing that person to Adolf Hitler. But I just want to say this, okay, with that qualification, here we go. Many years ago, about 10 years ago, I read word for word the book, probably the most definitive book on Nazi Germany. It was called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. Read it word for word.
Yes.
Took me a long time. Took me months. And by the end of the book, I realized the only real opposition that Hitler and the Nazis felt, even to the very end, came from the churches. And even there, it was a very small minority within the churches. Even the plot to kill Hitler in 1944 was
that's right.
It was a bunch of church leaders, actually. I mean, if you read the book, I mean, it's just it's absolutely fascinating. And we know about Bonhoeffer, but there are a lot of Bonhoeffers we don't know about. And bottom line is that it seems like, you know, when Jesus said the way that leads to life is straight and narrow and few there be that find it, but the way, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And it seems like there's a lot of professing Christians who really aren't part of God's movement on planet Earth, and therefore they go along with, whatever the culture says, and even though it defies what the Word of God says, and it defies what the laws of nature say. The laws of nature, by the way, come from God, and therefore they should be understood. And you could see that played out in the whole transgender movement. I mean, it's defying genuine biology.
Well, when I was a part of the gay rights movement myself, I was very active with the gay church and with the gay community from 1978 to 1984. Back in those days, even we did not really consider it normal for a man to want to become a woman or a woman to want to become a man. The transgender movement was not so closely aligned, really, with the gay rights movement. So things have shifted tremendously. But I think you're bringing up a good point. The current political social movement to legitimize transgenderism, legitimize same-sex marriage, legitimize homosexuality, and still the insistence that abortion is a viable moral choice, all of those run counterintuitive. We have an intuitive sense, and this is what Paul told the Romans about in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. Even before we are born again, we have an intuitive sense of what's normal versus abnormal, what's right or what's wrong. That's our conscience. And I think our conscience and our intuition tells us a boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. I think it tells us that the sexual act was designed for the male-female complementary union. I think it tells us that when a woman is pregnant, she's not just getting bigger. There is a life inside her. We intuitively become deferential and gentle in the presence of a pregnant woman. Now, there's a reason for that. And what the culture is doing is forcing kids especially to stomp on their intuition, to override what their own common sense is telling them, and to listen to the teachers and the bureaucracy, because the teachers and the bureaucracy know better. Now, think about that, Jerry. What's happening? The government is saying, don't think for yourself. It may seem to you that it is this way, but we who know better are telling you it's that way. Now go back to 1984, where Winston's torturer is saying, how many fingers am I holding up? And he held up three. And Winston said, you're holding up three fingers. And then the man would torture him and say, until you can definitively say I'm holding up four fingers, we're going to keep hurting you. That's what we've got going today, is the government saying, never mind what you think, we know better.
Mm. All right, so recapping our top story, you've got this wonderful new book out, and it's go ahead and say the name and tell us about the pre-orders. We have about a minute left.
Yes, sure. It's called Christians in a Cancel Culture by Joe Dallas. And you can pre-order it. Go right to my website, joedallas.com. And there's a landing page there where you can place your pre-order. That's joedallas.com. And the book is called Christians in a Cancel Culture. It will be released by Harvest House Publishing on August 15th. I'm just now in studio putting the finishing touches on the audio version of it.
Super.
So it'll be available via an audio version read by me, as well as Kindle, and as well as the paperback version.
And isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul tells us that we must speak the truth in love. And just those two things alone help cut through so much of the garbage in our culture today. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. What a privilege to talk with you.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Jerry. Take
care. You too.